I have had some years when I have really learnt how to call on the name of God and names of God and see some pretty remarkable things happen. So this morning I'd like to share a few of those things and a few of the things that we can do to really release the power of God in our own lives. So if we think about the names of anybody, as Phil was saying, you know, they give us a bit of identity, they make us individuals. And, you know, when you think about when people name babies, sometimes it's because it's a name that is really something quite special to that family. It could be after a loved one. Now, obviously, when we hear about rock stars and that sort of thing, you know, there is a current trend to name children after surnames, a current trend even to call a baby after your favourite fruit. We've probably heard of the girl that's called Apple, for instance. However, naming in the Bible is all about authority and intimacy. Those two things, authority and intimacy. And we all know there's several places in the Bible where there is a change of name that takes place. For example, Saul was changed to Paul after his conversion on the road to Damascus. Abram was changed to Abraham when he entered into a covenant with God. And Joseph, another example, became Barnabas after caring for many others. So basically each had a new authority after those events, and they also had a more intimate walk with God. So we also know that we as believers are personally called by name. John 10:3 tells us this. So to God, names are very important. They are very significant. We are not nobodies and we're not part of the unknown masses. So this morning I've chosen 7 names of God and we're going to look at those. And each of these, you quite often see the word Jehovah or Yahweh, the Hebrew word, in front of them. Now, because we see that in front of them, it means that they are covenant names of God. And because they're covenant names of God, that means that they all represent a promise to us. So the first one I would like to look at is Rohi. Now, this is pronounced either Rohi or Ra. And it means the Lord is my shepherd. And, you know, we can think about Psalm 23. That's the most famous, the Lord is my shepherd, part in the Bible. In some translations, Rohi is translated and interchanged with the Hebrew word that is Roi. Now that means the Lord sees me. So not only does he guide me as a shepherd, he also sees me, understands me, understands us. So he's not just a shepherd, he's our personal shepherd. The next name that I'd like us to look at is one that's probably very familiar to us, which is Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord is my provider. And possibly the most famous part in the Bible, an example of this, is in Genesis 22:2, when Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac. And he said, the Lord will provide. And lo and behold, he did. So he didn't need to sacrifice his own son. The third name that I'd like us to look at this morning is Shalom. The Lord is my peace. Now, peace here refers to soundness and completeness. And if you think about it, you know, if we've lost our peace, we quite often feel, oh, there's something missing. We don't feel quite right. We've lost our peace. So God's peace, when it comes, it rectifies that. It rectifies the feeling of incompleteness. It rectifies the fact that something's missing. And when we have God's peace, everything's all right with the world again. And there is an example of this in the Bible. Well, there's many examples, actually. And one example is when in Judges 6:24, God spoke to Gideon about tearing down Baal's altar. Now, when God came to him, Gideon was initially really afraid. And he's like, I know this is you, God, but I'm a bit afraid, so I'm going to go do it at night. I'm going to tear down this altar, which is not godly. I'm going to do it at night. However, God came to him with peace. The next name I'd like us to look at is one that you probably may not have seen before, and that's Sid Keno. The Lord is my righteousness. An example of this one is 2 Corinthians 5:21, and it says, God made him, and when he says him, he's referring to Jesus here. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that we in him might become the righteousness of God. So Jesus has done that, as we know, for us, and we are therefore his righteousness. The next word that describes God's names is Shammah. The Lord is always here with me. An example of this is Ezekiel, and that's 48:35. And this is a long list of how God is marking out the territories. And right at the end, it says, once all of the territories had been marked out, the city was then named, and the city was called The Lord is There. In other words, Jehovah Shammah. Now, just to say this, this is a truth that we know. God promises his presence to us, even when we can't tangibly feel it. His presence is always with us. The sixth name that I would like to look at is Nisi or Nisai. The Lord is my banner. And this refers to victory, protection, and to guidance. An example of this is Exodus 17:8-6. And this is the well-known story of when Moses kept up his hands and he needed help to keep them lifted during the battle. And all the times that he kept his hands lifted during the battle, they were actually winning. And at the end of that, Moses built an altar and named it Nisi to show that God was the cause of the victory in that battle against the the final one is Makedesh. The Lord is my sanctification. He is holy and therefore makes us holy too. An example of this is Leviticus 20:7-8, which says, consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Now, on this, I was just thinking about this just as we were worshipping. And when Phil put up the song, I speak Jesus and we speak Jesus, it did occur to me that there were also words there that said, burn like a fire. And I was just thinking about that as we were singing that. And I thought, yes, when a forest fire has gone through and it's burnt everything. If you've ever seen one of those scenes, it's a scene of utter destruction. And there's a few maybe stumps of wood and everything else is black, everything else is gone. And it occurred to me that when we ask God to come like a fire, you could look at that and go, well, God, you've come through here and you've burnt like a fire and I can't see very much. But one thing you may not know is what fire does when it comes. It kills every bacteria. It sterilizes the ground. So when we call God to burn like fire in areas of darkness, it leaves nothing of the darkness. So in that respect, it totally sanctifies. And it's because of the heat of the fire. And that's what sanctifies. So God's character and identity is shown in all of these names. And as we know, he has other names apart from these. These are just ones that I've chosen this morning. And all of these represent promises to us. Now, this means that in difficult times or difficult situations, we can take God's names to actually base our prayers on. And I would like to share with you now a testimony of how I first learnt to do this. And it was many, many years ago, and my husband, who's here today, had a sudden brain hemorrhage and stroke. And at the time, we were very far from home, and they said, actually, he's very, very ill. He has about a 10% chance of pulling through, you know. And I was sitting there thinking, well, that means he's got a 90% chance of not pulling through. So, as I say, we were far from home, and with that comes the practical things. I had to find somewhere to stay, because obviously he was in the hospital, so I had to find somewhere to stay. I had a car with me, so I had to find somewhere to park the car. And because of all of these things, and obviously I had to eat in the meantime, the bills racked up, and there was hotel and B&B bills, there was food bills, there was parking by daily rate bills. And before I knew it, before the hospital stay had finished, that had racked up thousands of pounds, which we didn't have. And this was obviously an unexpected cost, but it was a necessary cost. So unwillingly, I put it onto a credit card. And in the years that followed, because we didn't have very big wages, we found it impossible to pay that debt off. We did everything we could, we cut every cost we could, we sought God over it, and we found that it was impossible. And so nothing happened, as I say, for 2 years. And then I prayed the following prayer. And this is what I said. Jehovah Jireh, you are my provider. This illness and cost was not a surprise to you. I know that you are able to clear this debt for us, which was not born out of bad stewardship. You can do this because you are God and because your storehouses are full. Lord, please open your storehouses for us. Fling wide the doors. I want to prove that you are sufficient for all of our needs. Your name and character promises this to us. So, before I tell you what happened, and you can probably guess, but before I tell you what happened, I would like us to think about any impossible or difficult situations that we have right now at the moment, that we're currently facing. And I would like to encourage us all that God knows and deeply cares, even if nothing's moving on it at the moment. I would like to encourage all of our faith this morning so that I would like us to think about some situations that we could maybe use God's names to bring a new aspect to our prayers. So I'd just like to you to think about that for a moment and think about any ways God could change any of our situations by confessing the power of his name. I would like to encourage and release your faith this morning about any situations that you may have been thinking about. And I'm going to tell you now what happened. Well, the debt situation that I had, as you know, absolutely nothing happened for 2 years, and then God moved in a mighty way. A perfect job came up for me. And it sought me out. It came to me. I didn't go looking for it. And I have to say this. There had been no jobs. That had been one of the first things that I'd tried. There was nothing there. Nothing there at all. So God created this perfect job that came and sought me out. I didn't have to go interview for it. And this in itself was a miracle. Because there had been no jobs. Not only that, but this job paid a little higher. And God cleared the debt that had occurred during the hospital stay. Not only that, he did it in record time. Now, up to this point, you could say, well, actually, you know, this is all explained by the higher paid job. Yes, it could be. However, what God did next can't be. God then supplied the same amount of money that the debt had been, and he supplied it so that I could put it into my pension pot, which was a bit lacking in funds. Now, bearing in mind, I hadn't asked God to do this, I'd just asked him to clear the debt. So he'd done that, and he'd said, have the same amount and put it into your pension. Not only did he do that, but he then gave us double what we asked for. Not only did he do that, but when our old car failed that year, he found another £5,000 for us to get a new car. So I just stand here and I say, glory to God, boy, did you open the storehouses that year. So Jehovah Jireh provided all of our needs when it was absolutely impossible. So again, I'd like to encourage your faith this morning. I'm going to use, and this is an example, a personal example, the names of God that you see up there. And I'm using this to deal with a very difficult situation. Now, my own situation is I currently have great difficulty with somebody who is hell-bent in causing me pain. And they have paranoid delusions, they're quite violent, and I can see that this is shattering all the hopes and blessings that God has got for this person. So I'm actively praying, using the seven names up there, and I'm confessing the names of God over the situation, just like Phil and Jenny did earlier. I'm confessing this over this person as an act of my own faith. And as God's children, we can all do the same to release God's power in our prayers. So I'm just going to share with you the prayer that I'm praying over this person. Lord, you are my personal shepherd, so I am certain that you will tell me what to do and say when I'm with this person. You will provide me a way through and a way through for us, and provide the right circumstances for this person to move forward. While I'm waiting for this, Lord, may you be my peace and remove all stress and strain from me. You are all my righteousness. You are always with me. You will be my banner of victory in this situation. May you help me find a way to help this individual, even though I have found none to date. I believe you will also be my guide and my protector in this process. You sanctify my motives, and therefore I know this will help me pray in the way that is best for this individual. I want to be able to testify that you changed yet another impossible situation because of your beautiful and wonderful character. May your will be done, Lord. Amen. As we know, praying according to God's names and characters, we know that we are building our prayers on a rock-solid foundation. These types of prayers, based on who God is, in other words, steadfast, righteous, holy, unchangeable, everlasting, these prayers are powerful. And I will let you know what happens in this situation, because I hope to come with a testimony to tell you how God changed this situation and this individual. Now, you may remember at the start of this message, I said that naming in the Bible was all about authority and intimacy. Well, praying according to God's names means that we take on his authority. And it's not ours. It's not our authority. And through experience, I know that going through the process of praying these names, applying it in faith to our situations, I know that that brings a new intimacy with God. It also brings a new assuredness that God can actually do exactly what he says he can do. Exactly what he's able to do. And I can honestly say that the most powerful prayers that I've witnessed with the most dramatic answers over the years have been prayers based on this type of confession of faith, based on the character of God. And this is why God's names are special. Now, you may have noticed in all of this that there are two parts in all of this. And this is saying and believing when we confess our faith like this. And that's based from Mark 11:23, which says, "Truly I say to you, if anyone says," notice that it says, "if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they say will happen, it will be done for them." So there's two parts, saying and believing. And again, it says, Romans 10:9, "If you declare with your mouth," in other words, say, "Jesus is Lord," "and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." So there's two parts. When we pray God's names with his authority, it's important that we do both parts, both speaking it out, confessing it, and then believing it. So today, what we have covered might not be new to some people, but what is new, I believe, is a new emphasis that God is currently placing on all of us as believers to actually really fuel our prayers with faith in a renewed way. As the days get darker, we need to be confident in knowing how to release our faith. And we need to be confident in knowing how to move mountains in his name. Confident in knowing how to prove God is who he says he is. And from my experience, calling on God in this way releases God's power and draws on his authority. And my prayer for everybody here is that we know God's power and his glory in increasing measure in the days to come. Thank you.